Come and have a look at this. Right, I've waited. I'm anxious.
I have been wanting to show you this.
Okay.
The entire time you've been in there with our lovely people. This is Pod Bible.
Okay.
The best new podcast of spring 2024.
Who's you? No.
Read it, Anna.
If you're after a masterclass in how to do a buddy podcast to a professional standard, give Gas Bags a go. We need merchandise now. This is it.
Gas Bags bag.
Gas Bags bag! Oh my god! This is Gas Bags. I'm Anna Perro, she's Sophie Little, and we're here in our not-for-profit Soundyard podcast studio.
We talk about all things non-profit business, we share nice sounds we've found with each other, and we swap podcasts.
This week's good bits involve a cheeky tipple and a treat for my teeth.
In bad bits, screen time and eyeballs. Found sound comes from me, I'm not going to say anything else about it. It's rather a surprise this week.
My podcast digs deep into the online world.
And my podcast is a piece of art, interrogating madness and figuring out how you walk alongside it. Where should we start with our week? Good bits.
Good bits bit. We have had some lovely things happen this week. It's been nice. I've had the other part of my root canal done.
How was that?
I mean, the payment was painful. Far more painful than the actual...
Is it rude to ask?
I mean, at this stage, no, I don't think so. It was £873.
Oh, it makes me feel eye watery, actual eye water.
You could buy a car for that. Instead, I paid for someone to drill into my face.
Last time, your face swelled up. I've never seen anything like it. And your nose went to the side.
It did, like, didn't it?
What happened this time? Because I didn't see you.
So my nose didn't go out of place, but it was very numb for most of the day. And you can feel yourself dribble. Suck that back in. Oh, to be a dentist.
Oh, it must be fun.
I'm going to look and see if there's a dentistry podcast. Yeah, I think I'm going to do dentistry next week.
Okay, well, I look forward to that.
I went on a little trip this week, just round the corner to Vision Norfolk, which was really cool. I hadn't been there before. And we already send one of our podcasts, Chris Skinner's Countryside Podcast, to people who don't have the internet, but we also send it to hospital radio. And we also send the best bits to a service called Chatterbox. It's for people who are visually impaired and they get spoken word newsletters. And we send them Chris Skinner's Countryside Podcast as well. And we were wondering whether there was a service that we could provide for people that would like festival programmes and information like that in spoken word. Because there's a big, and this is what I learned whilst I was there with Richard and Erin, who were so welcoming, and they were saying how there's like a huge range between people who are visually impaired, first of all, but then as we know, there is a huge range of the technical ability of people in general, isn't there? So they were just saying how that service would be a really useful thing if it can be created and sent out to people like that, or it can be hosted on websites for people. So yeah, we've been contacting lots of events, and if you have an event that you run and you'd like it to be accessible for more people, then do get in touch.
We had a nice meeting this week, a really nice meeting.
It was, yeah.
We often host people here for meetings, and if you've listened to Gas Bags before, you'll know on the menu is hot squash, tea, coffee.
There is wine left over from our launch event, but we don't crack that open very often because midday seems a bit too...
Too much for wine. Yeah. However, I do like midday lunchtime pints, and we very rarely do anything like that. But at this particular meeting, it just felt right, and everyone had a pint and a little, and the problem with this is that you and I had not eaten.
No.
And so the meeting was absolutely fine, lovely, really good.
But as soon as you stand up.
Yeah, when you stand up and you haven't eaten. And so we wobbled back to
we did, didn't we? Linking arm in arm.
It was one of those times where I thought about half an hour ago I felt professional.
Yeah.
And now I feel the absolute opposite of that. We were there, like, nose pressed up against the window of the bakery down the street, like, trying to figure out what's going to soak up the booze.
What are you
going to
have? And we went eventually for baguettes.
Big baguettes.
Big baguettes. And there was a moment in this shop. Now, usually Sophie is very much, I don't mind, and we'll go with whatever flow you give her, even if it's a bad deal for her. But this time I was like, do you want to like half it? And she was like, no. No, I don't want to half it. I said, I didn't mean half it. I know you don't want to half it. I meant because you wanted tuna and chicken tikka. Yeah. So we had half each. We still had a full baguette.
I know you better than to think you would half a baguette anyway, like with me. That's just not on the table.
No, that's not a thing I'm open to.
So we both scoffed some massive baguettes and
cake.
And cake.
And Coke.
We should probably clarify, not the
cola.
And round two.
We're going to have to put that as a disclaimer now, aren't we? Drug reference.
Yes.
There's no drugs to take, just no Coca-Cola. Just and it was diet.
Oh, dear.
So much fun had by all for that one. That was good.
What we've learned from the pint at midday is always...
have breakfast.
Always.
And probably eat quite a lot before as well.
Yeah.
So we want breakfast, brunch, pre-lunch.
Yeah.
And then pint.
Sorted.
I still, all a learning curve, isn't it, business? Bad bits then. You've had a dicky eye this week.
Yeah. So part of, we talked about chronic illness the other week. Part of my long COVID is I have double vision and I have glasses that roughly correct it. But I don't want to go into it. It's a whole thing. But up close, I have to be careful not to use both my eyes all the time because it's single vision up close. So things like screens and stuff, I can just look at and it's fine. But if I look at them for ages, it makes the double vision beyond that, which is what I see in the distance, really bad. One of the ways to combat this is to wear an eye patch. Mm-hmm. I have an eye patch. I hardly ever wear it because the kids always run off with it to play with it.
Pirates?
Yes.
I love that.
And so at the moment it's currently lost. So this week, one of the things I was doing was using that washi tape. You know, the stuff that's like really gentle, like masking tape.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called washi tape.
Micropore tape?
And then just like that decorative stuff that you put. It's usually got lovely little patterns on and I think it's Japanese, and you put it on the wall and stuff. Well, I put it on my eyelid to keep that closed and it worked really well. Anyway, what I was thinking about was how do you do business without screen time?
Yes.
Because I really need to reduce mine and probably reduce it further than most people would be able to conduct business with. Editing I have to look at a lot and I'm fine with that. I would happily sacrifice my screen time to editing. I love it.
Yes, yeah. Same.
But everything else that you need to do, like there must be people that live with other conditions or reasons for not looking at a screen a lot, whether that's mental health or whether it is physical to do with your eyes or whatever. How can we incorporate less screen time into our business but keep productivity going?
Do we call people more, use the phone more? Is that one way of doing it?
That's a great
idea. You get results immediately. If you do call somewhere and you discuss something with somebody, they're like, oh, can you just pop it in an email? And often that is for thinking time for them, or it's to share that idea with other people and having it down in physical form. So, yeah, I'm not sure phone calls is actually the way forward at all. How do you do it then? How do you cut screen time?
I don't know. Maybe I just need to find this eye patch.
Yeah, find the eye patch. And I love the fact that you're often losing your glasses, and that's because they are clear glasses.
And I can't see.
You can't see them, which is amazing, isn't it? I mean, the people who created that must just be like, surely no one will buy these invisible glasses. And they did.
And I did.
And you did. There's a market for everyone.
My turn for found sound, Anna. And usually it's one of us going out and recording something on our phones, isn't it? Or on our lovely equipment and bringing it back. I'm breaking with that today.
Ooh.
I thought I would do a live found sound.
It's So it's just a sound then?
Yeah. Hang on.
Well. How are you going to do this then?
Right, close your eyes and I'll be back.
Those famous last words. Yeah, okay. All right, Muggins here. Gonna close my eyes.
You got a face full of hot air then.
I got the Hoover huff, as I like to call it. We've got a Hoover. That was a great found sound. I was thinking for a while, what is she doing? What has she bought that she's concealed from me that I've not noticed? And of course it was Hoover.
Hoover. Hello. It could have been a good bit, but I thought it would be a nice found sound this
week. It's a great found sound.
And it's going to revolutionise our cleaning routine in this place. This has a huge floor.
Yeah.
Carpet as well. I've been on my hands and knees picking up individual bits of crap in the carpet.
Yeah.
Hopefully not actual crap. And and now we have a Hoover.
She's substantial as well. I love this Hoover.
She's hefty.
Because it's just an upright Hoover. And you can click her down. 25 quid this. It's a good make as well. Miele?
Miele?
Miele. And it came with Hoover bags. And we know how much we love a bag. And then you put it down and she flattens out all the way to the floor.
Wow.
She's like a sort of aerobics wizard. It's amazing.
I'm so happy that our life is slightly easier.
Yeah, yeah.
For her being here.
Yeah, she's improved it. Thank you. Podcast swap time. And the podcast I've selected this week is called Rabbit Hole. And I chose it because I've got a friend, and I think we've all got a friend, that spends a lot of time on YouTube, sending videos to us. And they're all very, very random, but they've always loved it and they've always done it. And my choice last week was all about time and like the gift of time, possibly wasting time. And so I was quite curious about rabbit holes and the impact the internet can have on us. It's 8 episodes. They are mostly between 25 and 35 minutes long. Totally bingeable length for me. And it's made by New York Times tech columnist Kevin Roos. So this podcast documents the parallel universe of the internet. And it starts by following this guy called Caleb, his watch history on YouTube and how it shaped his political views. And then it goes on to talk about the story of YouTube development and how the company moved from gaming and cat videos to monitoring their responsibility in terms of being a publishing platform for different and sometimes extreme content. And then it looks at the so-called YouTube king, PewDiePie. And that's as far as I've got. I'm at episode 6 and I can't wait to listen to the rest of it. It's been really well produced. It's got beautiful archive material of old audio from the early internet days, like the adverts as well. And it feels almost like a soundscape alongside the content. And it's a huge topic. So using those sounds and like the video clips in it really give like your brain some space to digest what you're hearing. It also looks at the power and the danger of the internet, of not looking above the water to breathe on the internet. And I think what I mean by that is like the ability to think for yourself and have critical thinking. One fact that really rings in my ears from the podcast is that humans spend the equivalent of 114,000 years viewing YouTube content every day.
That's mind-blowing.
That's bonkers, isn't it? So to borrow Voltaire or Peter Parker's uncle, depending on your age, with great power comes great responsibility. YouTube and like other platforms have their own journey documented in this with their responsibility of content. When you know that there are vulnerable people watching and people that watch all day, every day, they bring up like morality questions like why should YouTube police content when it comes to coronavirus pandemic, but then don't police things on far right views that might spread ignorance and hate. I really like that sort of discussion. And if you do, then you're going to like this podcast. I love Caleb's story of how he consumes YouTube almost all day, every day. And that gently leads him from self-help videos for young men to right-wing views to then far right-wing views and extreme views to almost like the very bottom of the rabbit hole. He then starts watching interviews with two people that he respects, but both with opposing political views. That then flips his algorithm of recommended watching to the left and opens his mind to a really different political space. And at the end of that journey, he then opens his laptop and makes his own content as someone confessing that he's fallen down the rabbit hole of extreme right. I find it amazing that not once does he consider that maybe taking his head out of YouTube might help. I think as a society, we need to maybe place more emphasis on critical thinking because it's quite a dangerous place otherwise. People are very convincing. If someone says to you, this is the truth, what I'm telling you is the truth. It's such a dramatic way of speaking. And these people are convincing. And to somebody who is vulnerable to taking that on, I find it's fascinating. It's really, really good. Now, finally, Soph, I know you'll like it. Because it talks a lot about conspiracy and trust. It brings a lot about how we find our news and how we consume it and the power of conspiracy. But also, I think it touches on the dangers of influencers and the subscribe to PewDiePie movement. And you may never have heard of this. If you haven't heard of it before, then you should listen to this because it's really fascinating. The subscribe to PewDiePie movement was enormous and the internet, it just proved that it's not underground and it can lead to enormous damage and in this case, really violent murder and extremism. For me, it feels like we're on the precipice of this AI age. And again, I worry who's going to wield that power and will they use it responsibly? So there's questions of morality, even like where we are today in this. It's really scary, it's mind-blowing and fascinating. All at the same time, it's a must listen from me. It's Rabbit Hole from the New York Times.
This week, I'm bringing a podcast to the table that's called Self-Help. I saw someone online called Scotty is Fat on Instagram. It was recommended to me through the algorithm, I think, and was immediately drawn to them. They're a queer artist, a theatre maker, a yoga educator, and they live with psychosis, autism and anxiety and make really relatable and honest content about their life experiences. Scotty's podcast popped up on the same list that we were featured on Pod Bible, and I thought, I have to give this a go. And I really wasn't sure what to expect, but it has blown me away. There are 5 episodes. The first one's called Sanity, and then Self-Care, Self-Pity, Diagnosis and Landscape. It's self-produced and made with support from the Arts Council by Scotty. And Scotty describes this as a piece of art. I had that in mind as I was listening to it as well, and it gave it a real different feel. And I'm going to read you the blurb that Scotty writes about the podcast. Scotty is mental. Having spent a life running away from madness, he is now walking alongside it, asking himself questions along the way. Listen to him ruminate on sanity, capitalist self-care, pity parties and diagnosis as he gets lost in his thoughts and the landscape. And the first episode opens with him saying, I'm Scotty, I'm cold, damp, alive and I'm mental. And he's in rural Scotland going on these walks. It's just him and his surroundings, the landscape that you can hear, his footsteps talking into a microphone, kind of thinking around these topics, bringing in stuff that he's read or talked about with other artists or friends or therapists, looking at all of these huge complex topics in totally different ways. It's brilliant. It's just really brilliant. I think this can be said a lot about content makers, and I never really actually feel that this is true a lot of the time for me, but Scotty has this amazing ability to make it feel like we're friends. I think he does this by being really open, obviously sharing really personal insight into his own brain and inner workings, but it's the care that he takes to speak to the people who have decided to give their time to listen to the podcast that I think really breaks that down and breaks that wall. There are so many moments in it where I just wish that I was taking the walk with him and that we could have a chat about some of the perspectives that he's sharing or exploring. I often feel like that barrier between myself as a listener and the thing I'm listening to is there. Even if I don't want it to be, it's always there. I'm being an observer of what is playing, or I'm just waiting to be entertained by something. For once, I actually truly feel like this barrier has gone with this podcast. I also really like that just by existing, this is going such a long way to destigmatize psychosis and other mental states and conditions, giving insight into what it's like to live with them and reframing them and the way that we consider them in society as well. And I'm really glad that it's been so popular. He's had over 150,000 listeners to it. I saw him post a while back now, so I imagine it's way more than that. There's this bit in this episode about self-pity where he talks about being non-monogamous and having to always answer the question, don't you get jealous, you know, if you have multiple partners. And it's really useful because he's using it as an analogy for thinking about self-pity and other emotions that get labelled as bad or unproductive. I think we've all grown up with that, isn't it? Yeah, jealousy, bad emotion. Anger, bad emotion. Sad, bad emotion. So back to the non-monogamy. He explains that when jealousy arrives, it's this opportunity to kind of dig in and figure out where that's coming from. So if something with your partner is making you jealous, you might think, oh, well, you know, the actual reason that I feel this way is because I want to go to dinner with you, or, you know, I want to spend more time with you. And what you end up with, having felt that feeling, is actually knowing what you need or want. And so I find that interesting in itself. Non-monogamy is a very interesting topic. But I really like the analogy with that with self-pity. So he uses this phrase, it can give you agency to understand yourself. So you stick with that emotion of self-pity, figuring out what's arising and where it's coming from, and using it as this tool to kind of get to know yourself more through it. And again, I think destigmatizing the idea that there are bad emotions. And
that's what we go through with our children all the time, isn't it? Like, we were brought up saying, don't get angry. It's honestly a phrase that just rings in my ears. Don't be angry. Calm down. Those phrases, actually, if you think about why you're angry or why something's happening and addressing that, it's far more useful than trying to dilute that emotion.
Yeah, it's made me think about like sticking with those emotions some more and exploring them and using them.
Feeling
as,
them.
Yeah, feeling your feelings, but also like using them as this tool to figure yourself out. I think what you're going to like about this, Anna, is the sound design. It's really thoughtful. There's loads of footsteps and rain and wind and what I assume are like gates, ponds, bodies of water. It just sounds incidental a lot of the time, but actually I think it's not. I think it's been, he's an artist and he's beautifully made this world that's happening on these walks around him. And I think that's what makes it so immersive as well. And I also think you're going to enjoy the different perspectives on these topics. We're both going to want to have a proper debrief after we've listened to it, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, me too.
I've been thinking a lot in recent times about how capitalism and the structures that we live with and have to partake in to even just stay alive affect our perception of the world, our perception of ourselves, our purpose within it, and it can even impact and completely shape what we think brings us joy. And the more I interrogate it, the wider this net becomes. And this podcast has got me thinking about it a lot in terms of how our brains work. And in the first episode, Sanity, Scotty talks about the definition of insanity and how one way to look at it is it being largely about how palatable and how valuable you are to society. And that has been whirring around in my head and it will continue to do so for some time, I think. I really recommend this podcast. It's called Self-Help by Scotty, 2 T's, 2 E's.
We touched on the fact that we've had a lovely review this week, but don't forget, you can review too. Rate and review wherever you're listening.